Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Mike Maropoulos. And on the other end, we have Minerva from, you know, anybody that knows anything about Cabo San Lucas. Minerva is quite a legendess? Minerva is the queen of the fishing fleet in Cabo San Lucas and operates the, the finest tackle shop in downtown Cabo San Lucas. And we're going to find out what's going on down there. Minerva, it seems like, again, we always want to talk about the weather, and every year it's unusual. But this year it's even been more unusual.
It has. As you know, it only rains about 5 days a year in Cabo, and we've had a couple of very dry years. Well, it's catching up to us in the last 2 weeks. We just got Hurricane Miriam that went by us, and now we've got another storm building right below us about 250 miles from us, and it's expected to strengthen and come up towards the tip of Baja and the Sea of Cortez. So we are waiting for that. We've got lots of rain already preceding this depression. And we do have people out there fishing because fishing has been absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, cool. Now, does that have, of course, the water's been really warm this year too, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We've got 90-degree water out there. You can find 90-degree water in the Sea of Cortez.
Wow. And that's the water temperature. I won't even ask what the ambient temperature is.
The air is right at about 100.
Yeah. But, that's why God invented Coronas, right?
That's right, with a little bit of fresh lime coming with it.
Minerva, this is Mike. I was curious about this. Did Miriam hit you guys? It looked like it veered to the west. Did you get some of that?
No, we didn't. We did get a swell, a nice big swell that caused the port to be closed the day before yesterday. Then they opened the port again yesterday, and we fished, and it was phenomenal, but not rain or wind. This one's packing some water.
Well, every time we talk to you, we wish we were down there with you. That's kind of how we feel.
Yeah, well, with this fishing, you know, we've got the boats averaging one billfish per boat and limiting out on nice, large Dorado. And this morning I had a call from a Ponga that they had a 65-pound rooster that they were hoping would go for a world record.
Wow, that is impressive. And where would that come from? Because normally they're an inshore fish. Do you know where it came from?
Yeah, that was a Ponga coming right off of the San Cristobal area.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's not anywhere near a world record. La Paz holds both all-tackle world records
right.
on the rooster. But
65 is big. There's no question
that
about it.
That is a trophy fish any way you slice it.
Well, unless he was using 5-pound test or something.
He was using 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's still a big fish, and I'd be proud of it.
Yeah.
They're so much fun to catch. And
they really are.
That's the awesome thing about Cabo San Lucas is there's a lot of variety. And of course, the other thing is that you can go in different directions to find what you're looking for. And right now, I guess the water temperature in the Sea of Cortez is really warm. So are you guys fishing the Pacific side?
We are. We've been fishing anywhere from the 95 all the way over to the Golden Gate. But actually, the concentration, John, has been right in front of Mañanitas and the San Cristobal area.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had to go far at all. And I'm sure you've heard that we've even got some beautiful big tunas coming through. Did you hear about our world record tuna?
Oh. That was it last week, I think, that it was?
That's right.
Because I think it was last year or the year before, there was a long-range boat out of San Diego that went down, and it was almost in the same territory. It was right down below Cabo San Lucas, and they got a world record yellowfin tuna, which was 403 or 405.
405.
Right. And then
this one is now 427 certified. As you know,
fantastic.
I am a weigh master, and we weighed that fish. It's gorgeous. I see no reason that it won't take the world record, be the new world record. And it's also they're also registered in the Mustad fishing contest, which until we have all the official outcome, could produce a $1 million prize for this tuna.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
Yes, the contest is over in 2 days, and they were registered, and the contest consists of anybody fishing for a world record and breaking an existing world record on a Mustad hook is eligible for the $1 million contest prize.
Whoa. Well, we're assuming he used it in Mustad.
They were. This is clean. These boys took such precautions that they even took all their line before they went out fishing, sent it into IGFA to have it tested.
Uh-huh. Right. Because as we know, you know, a 30-pound test might break at 25 or it might break at 45.
Right. So they tested everything, and this is as clean a potential contest winner as I've ever seen.
Wow. That is incredible. That is incredible. Now, where was this thing hooked up at?
You know,
they're not telling us?
Everybody has a secret, don't they?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
The closest I can get to it is that they were at near Benedicto, and first I heard islands, and then I heard 100 miles southwest, and then I heard the word Benedicto. So that's without anything being sealed in blood.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Well, when I first heard the story, I heard something about they were 180 miles south of Cabo San Lucas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, like I said, everybody's got a secret.
Okay.
You know, Minerva, one of the fishing reports that I remember, kind of an all-timer, is it might have been 2 or 3 years ago here on the show, you said that you guys were having to sinker your baits to get down through the stripers to get to the tuna.
Mm-hmm.
That may have been pretty common, but that really got me. And you had to put weights on to get that bait down through those game fish. That was
an incredible report. And it was. That is very exciting, isn't it, Mike? Thank you for reminding me. Yeah, a lot of people were coloring, you know, marking their line, and as they had success, check the line, and finding that the tuna, you know, were down like 90 feet or 60 feet,
okay.
And then the marlin would be in between there and stuff. So they were using incredible techniques.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good fishing when you start talking like that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Minerva, I'm going to be down. Hopefully I'll see you the beginning of November. We've got a few people going down that we're going over to the Van Wormers, Palmas de Cortez and East Cape, fishing for a few days. But I'll obviously have to stop in. Hopefully you'll be around about the 6th or 7th of November, and I'll step in and see you.
Absolutely, John. We always look forward to you walking through the door.
Okay, well, you've also always have some cold drinks in the in that ice chest right there, and even walking in there and getting a bottle of cold water tastes pretty good.
Yeah, during tournament time, can't miss out on having those cold drinks.
Mm-hmm. Well, give us a quick idea about your operation.
Well, you know, we're kind of an establishment here that's been here for 35 years, and the store is 25 years old, and we like to work hard to be the one-stop shopping place for the fishermen. We have fishing boats, and we have all your basic Baja fishing needs, and we're a wealth of information, so we look forward to all your listeners coming to visit us, and you can reach us at www.minervas.com.
And yeah, it's not that difficult, MINERVAS.
That's right.
Okay, Minerva, and I'll just make a quick comment. You've got a great fleet at a very reasonable price, and certainly a well-educated crew that speaks English. So I'll be looking forward to seeing you. Thank you for taking time out of the day, and we'll be talking to you soon. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Mike Moropoulos, and we'll be back with you momentarily, so don't go too far.
West Marine is America's favorite boating supply source. They've got thousands of items to keep your boat looking good and running like new. West Marine has an incredible selection of apparel and footwear for all your adventures on land and sea. Boats, motors, screws, fittings, the latest electronics, fishing gear, apparel, and friendly, knowledgeable staff. With locations nationwide, West Marine has all you need for fun on the water. Call 1-800-BOATING or log on to westmarine.com to locate the store nearest you. World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Dry fly, wet fly, anybody's guess. Got a knot in my leader and my line's all a mess. The fish ain't biting. Fish ain't biting no more.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Mike Moropoulos, a longtime friend and a great fishing buddy. And we also have on the line with us Michael Briggs from Clover Pass Resort in Ketchikan, Alaska, something that if you've been listening to the show for some period of time, you're probably familiar with. But believe it or not, I think Michael is still in Ketchikan finishing up the season.
I am, John. I'm up. Got a couple more weeks left up here, and the last of the guests will be leaving, well, on Saturday afternoon.
Okay. And the... Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, let's talk about fishing Alaska. And one of the reasons I want to bring you on today is that it's already time to start making your reservations for next year.
It is. And in fact, it's a great time to make a reservation because the month of October, Alaska Airlines actually has a big, they call it the PFD sale. And you get the, without question, the best airfares of the year are available in October. So if you book now, you can kind of have your date lined up and then bam. Come on up here and on one of the cheapest airline tickets you can get as well.
Well, if you're going to go to Ketchikan, there's only one airline that flies to Ketchikan. Actually, I think there's only one air that flies mostly into Alaska, and that, of course, is Alaska Airlines. But you're saying in October they have a fair sale that if you purchase your tickets then, but you don't have to use them until the following year?
Correct. Yeah, and again, it's like, I mean, I know from like the Southern California area, it's about a little over $100 off each way.
Whoa. Well, that makes a big difference. And, of course, if you couple that with the deals that Clover Pass Resort has, you know, a lot of people are intimidated to go to Alaska because of the cost. And what the operation that you guys have put together with the self-guided fishing the lodge right on the water, and you just get your own boat and at sunup if you want, which comes real early, you can get on the water and you can fish for 12 hours if you want to, but because you're your own guide. But or you can go out for a few hours, come back, have lunch, go out for a few hours, come back, have dinner, go out for a few hours. And, you know, the fishing is just right off the docks. But give us an idea what happened this last year.
Well, we always kick off the season with king salmon. The Ketchikan King Salmon Derby happens in May and June, and the kings ran a little late this year, so even into July and August, we had some really nice fish being caught and brought across the dock. And then the next species to come through will be the pink salmon, and those were plentiful this year as well. And then finally, September rolls around, and you get silver salmon coming through. So you get all five species of Pacific salmon coming through the area. Sockeye are a little tough to catch on sport gear because they don't really eat other fish. But the kings, chums, silvers, and pinks all come through in big numbers. And in August, you usually have the opportunity to catch all four species.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, of course, about Clover Pass Resort, but also about Ketchikan, the location, and, you know, why it's a good place to go for fishing.
Well, I mean, number one, we're the most southern port in Alaska, so it's only a 90-minute flight from Seattle. If you can get to Seattle 90 minutes later, you're in Ketchikan, so really you can leave down south and be fishing the same day, whereas a lot of times if you go up further north in Alaska, you'll end up flying to Anchorage and then staying overnight and flying to another location, and you end up, you know, not really getting to fish quite as much as you would coming just to Ketchikan. And we have the International Airport here, of course, and we're located, all three of our lodges are located within about 25 miles of Ketchikan. And so there's no secondary form of travel. We pick you up at the airport, get you out to the lodge, and within about an hour of your plane touching down, you could be in a boat with a line in your hand.
Michael, this is Mike Maropoulos speaking. I'm a Clover Pass fan. I've been there with John on that real fun trip, and that's such a unique operation. The self-guided, those 14 footers, those are nice units. I really enjoy that kind of fishing. But of course, I think people should understand too that you do have charter opportunities out of Clover Pass too.
Absolutely, and we can customize the trip, however you want. We've had a number of people take advantage of that this year where they came in for, say, 5 days, went out with a guide on the first couple of days, and then spent the final 3 days fishing on their own out of either the Livingstons, where we do have these 20-foot Thunderjet boats as well as an upgrade where you can get four guys out in one of those boats and the same opportunities to fish just right out in front of the lodge, truly. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's so unique. John's already mentioned it. You go out and fish a little while and think, let's go on in and have something to eat. And you go on in and have something to eat and go right back out and start fishing again. You're on your own. Your schedule's your own. Eat what you want. That's just a great operation. Mm-hmm. I've been through it, and I love it.
Well, something you did not mention, Michael, is about your location. It's on I always get tongue-twisted, Archipelago. Where there's
I always mispronounce that myself.
Where there's a series of islands that protect you from the open ocean, and even though and I remember when I think for the first time that we went up to Clover Pass, one of the guests, because you go out in the water, it's like a lake, mm-hmm. and the trees come right down through the rocks to the water, and there's eagles up in the trees, and somebody was out there and they go, what's our elevation? Sea level, dummy.
Yeah. A lot of tourists coming through here on the cruise ship, so you hear some pretty unique questions. I've heard, what makes it an island? That was one of my favorites. surrounded by water? I don't know.
Well, actually, it is kind of interesting because Ketchikan is on an island. Is it Vieja Rajedo? And then of course, when you fly into a separate island, and you got to take a little ferry across the straits there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, some people don't know this, but we're the infamous town about the bridge to nowhere.
Yes.
They were planning on building this bridge to the airport. It's only about a quarter mile.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to get built.
No. And, what the unfortunate thing about it was is somebody, it was a political, a situation where somebody picked up on the idea. It's a bridge to an island with the population of 60 people, but they forget to mention there's an international airport there.
All right. And I think we have something like 1 million passengers come through that airport each year.
Yeah.
It's a substantial amount of people coming through. So,
Michael, getting back to those skiffs and the fishing, one of the things that really impressed me with a great group of kids you had. Well, not kids. I mean, they're mm-hmm. Young adults fishing,
right.
Working mm-hmm. on that dock. They were so helpful and so courteous. Made you feel really welcome.
Yeah.
I always remember that. That sticks out in my mind.
Michael, before we let you go, and we're going to get some information about Clover Pass Resort, is that you're coming to join us down in East Cape in November to go from Alaska to Baja.
Yeah, it'll be quite a change. It's going to be funny being in November and having temperatures the hottest I've felt all year.
Yeah, exactly. just one clue. All you need is T-shirts and shorts.
Oh, perfect.
Good. Okay.
I'll put those in my cooler.
There you go. And also remember that you can go to fishtalkradio.com, and on the front page there's a link for Clover Pass Resort. Okay, thank you, Michael. We'll let you get back to work, and we're looking forward to seeing you soon.
Sounds great, John. Thanks a lot.
All righty. Now we're going to get a report from Mandy at Lake Shasta. I believe we have her on the line. Mandy, have you been having... Oh, she's coming right up. Anyway, Mandy, we're going to get a report from Lake Shasta, and I bet you've had a good time this year, haven't you? She's there. Anyway, Shasta is one of my favorite areas, Mike, because it's, you know, right above Redding, and it is in the Eastern Sierras.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah.
And this, I suspect, we're going to get Mandy on here now, but I suspect that most of the tourists are gone, and this is a good place to, this is a good time to go.
Yeah, and the variety, as far as fishing is concerned, the variety of fish at Shasta Lake, and it has those rivers above mm-hmm. and below that offer an awful lot. But the mm-hmm. the lake itself, as you remember, John, we got even on that big old houseboat, and you hooked up with a couple of bass just dinking around.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of bass, a lot of trout. That is a great lake.
Yes.
I'm very impressed.
Okay.
I haven't spent much time up there, but it's a very impressive. If you like to fish, you can get it done right there.
Okay. Well, it looks like we do have Manda on the line. She's been trying busy taking care of the last straggling visitors, I guess, Mandy.
Absolutely.
There you go. Thanks. Thanks for joining in with us. And Mike and I were just talking about the lake and, you know, about this is the time of the year and, you know, you're chasing away all of the tourists so that if somebody wants to go up and really enjoy the lake, they can do that.
Yeah, the only hard thing is right now we're still in the 90s, so it's kind of hard to scare everybody away because the weather is still beautiful out. So.
Yeah. Well, it's probably a good time if somebody's, you know, be taking a road trip, you know, to California, that which definitely one of the spots you want to stop in.
Oh, yeah. Campground's right off the freeway, perfect access, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got and kind of an all-inclusive marina there. If you want to get boats, tackle, beer, you've got campsites. And also, if you want to upgrade a little bit, you can do that too, can't you?
Yeah, there's about 7 different marinas that you can choose from. And they all offer similar things as well as, you know, everybody offers a little bit different.
Yeah, Mandy, that's a gigantic lake, of course. Well, this is Mike. Well, has the fishing been good?
Oh, the fishing is awesome.
Okay.
I just went out, actually, and caught my first brown trout. I had never caught a brown trout before.
Oh, cool. I didn't know they had them in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mandy, let's find out how to get to Lake Shasta. If you're, you know, if you can find Redding, you can probably find Lake Shasta. And how do we get in touch with you?
You can go on the website at ShastaTrinityCamping.com.
ShastaTrinityCamping.com. Okay,
yep.
Mandy, thank you very much for taking your time out away from your busy customers to take care of us. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Mike Moropoulos, and we got more to come, so stay tuned. Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
For more than a century, sport fishermen have led the charge for conservation. From trout to marlin, anglers have worked to protect our natural resources and establish successful programs that benefit fish and fishermen. Today, this legacy is at risk unless we step up and lead the fight for real world conservation. That's what the Sport Fishing Conservancy is all about, doing what's best for fish and fishing and making sure anglers get the credit we deserve. Check out the Sport Fishing Conservancy and find out how you can help at sportcon.org.
You get line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get line and I'll get a pole, babe. You get line and I'll get a pole. We'll go down to the crowded hole, honey, baby mine.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. By the way, that was not me singing. We have Rick Petrie from Fishhound on the line, and he's got something a little bit unusual. Normally, we get fishing reports from Rick because Fishhound covers the entire United States and points well beyond. But right now, let's find out what Rick is up to because it's going to be a little bit interesting. Rick, tell us about it.
Hey, guys. I'm actually in Conroe, Texas today for the Toyota Texas Bass Classic, and it's kind of like the championship of bass fishing. It brings together the top 50 anglers from both the FLW Tour, Bassmaster, and PAA, and they battle it out over 3 days for $1 million.
Whoa. Well, bass fishing, you know, of course, you know, we've talked about it before, but, you know, it's popular all over the United States, and you don't find any trout tournaments that pay $1 million, that's for sure. But
no, you don't.
And, you know, it is interesting because there's a lot of professional and semi-professional bass anglers. So how do they qualify for this?
They qualify based upon their performance throughout the year on their respective tours. And then there's a couple at-large bids that are awarded. And this year it's a little different in that some of the bigger names actually didn't make it. Last year the Toyota Texas Bass Classic, it was the first tournament to ever have real-time scoring. So Fishhound gave them the technology so that you had a real-time leaderboard, you had a real-time scoring. So, you know, you didn't have to wait for everyone to weigh in. You literally could see the scores changing because everyone had a mobile app on their phone and they were logging all the catches. Go ahead.
I said, that's interesting. Tell us more about that. So do the anglers themselves give the information?
No, there's a judge on every single boat because what they're doing, this is all sponsored and this is all done to raise money for the Texas Parks and Wildlife. And, you know, last year they raised $250,000 to help support the Texas parks to ensure that, you know, the fisheries in Texas are there for, you know, the next generation. And, you know, like, as I was saying, so there's a judge on every single boat who's logging all the catches. And of course they have a paper scorecard in case there's a discrepancy. Some of the big names actually didn't make it. You know, probably the most popular bass angler in the world is Kevin Van Dam. And oddly enough, he didn't make it this year.
Yeah, well, that's fishing. Now with what you're describing, I'm kind of curious. Normally in a bass tournament, they'll put the fish into a live well, and as they get a bigger one, they'll release the smaller ones, you know, because I think normally you weigh in five, correct?
That's correct.
But the problem is the bass, you know, they might be on their brooding grounds, they're in a certain part of the lake, and then when they bring them in, they have to go through the process of weighing them, and then they release them back into the water, but it could be 5 or 10 miles from where they caught them.
Correct.
So are they able to release these without bringing them in?
Yeah, so this is a catch-and-release tournament unless they catch something that's over a certain weight. You know, you got to have some eye candy for the crowd. So when they do catch what they deem to be a lunker, they'll bring that in, they'll show it off, and then it's immediately placed into a tank and then, you know, brought right back. And because we're using mobile phones for GPS, they kind of know the general area of the water. They're not dry. So that's what's a little bit different about this program.
Cool. Well, that's really unique.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do we have Rabbit on the line? Okay. And give us a little bit of information about Fishhound while we got you.
Yeah, sure. So fishhound.com is it's kind of like Facebook for fishing. It's a large online community, about 350,000 members. You can sign up for free, and you get a $5 gift card to go buy fishing gear every month. And then we have a club program, and the club program is probably the most unique thing you've ever seen. Literally, you sign up for $39, and for $39, you receive $125 in member points. And you take these points, and you actually redeem them for fishing gear. So if someone joins for $39, I'm going to give them they're going to get to pick out $125 worth of fishing gear. They try it, they answer 4 questions for the manufacturer, and they get to keep it. Everything from rods, reels, lines, lures, and this covers fly, fresh, and salt. You know, everything from Seeker rods to Damiki lures, Gary Yamamoto to carrot sticks rods, and everything in between.
Can a talk show host join?
Absolutely.
I sent my money in.
Hey, you know, Rick, where you're calling, where we're talking to you from, is not a bad place there at Monroe. That's pretty nice looking water.
Yeah, Lake Conroe's got some great fish. So I'm looking forward to getting out on the water. I think I might actually fish on Lake Livingston tomorrow. So should be pretty good.
Rick, geographically, where is that?
So we flew into Houston, and it's about 45 minutes, I believe, east.
Oh,
southeast.
Okay, okay. Well, it must be pretty warm down in Houston, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty humid.
It's always humid.
Right.
But, well, it's great that you get the opportunity to do some of these things. But now, what is Fish Hound's association with this tournament?
So Toyota and Octagon, the group that actually manages this whole event, signed Fish Hound to extended a contract with us for 2 years. So we actually, for the next 2 years, provide all the real-time scoring. So you go to the website, and you'll be able to see a real-time leaderboard with updates the moment someone catches a fish. So we provide all the technology that feeds into their website. We power the big jumbotrons that are here on site because this is they've really tied the community into this event. I mean, there's a weekend-long barbecue competition, lots of concerts. Bass Pro Shops has a pretty big outdoor mm-hmm. event here.
Well,
and so, yeah, we provide all the real-time scoring and leaderboards.
Yeah, well, you are in Texas, so you certainly expect bass fishing, and then, of course, barbecue for sure, and there might even be some country western music, I suspect.
I suspect you'll probably be right.
And maybe some cold beer.
This real-time scoring now, Rick, has that been done before?
No, so well, last year at the Toyota Texas Bass Classic was the very first sanctioned fishing event where there was real-time scoring, and we provided that.
Oh.
It's been followed up once following that with Major League Fishing. And when you think about it, right, you compare it to, say, baseball, right? Baseball, you know what the score is at the bottom mm-hmm. of the eighth inning and
right.
whether you should bring in your closer or not.
Right.
But fishing is the only sport where you have no idea how you stack up against your competitors.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're down by a few pounds and it's late in the game, maybe you throw on a big bait, a big crankbait to try and land a big fish. I mean, mm-hmm. and so it's kind of brought, not only does it bring the fans right into it because they can follow it throughout the day, but it adds excitement to it, and it also gives the other anglers that are participating the opportunity to say, hold on, I'm down by 3 pounds. I've got to do something. So it kind of gives them some strategy.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a golf tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's really impressive. Yeah.
I never heard of that before.
Thank you.
No.
Yeah.
And well, maybe that might even spread out to some of the big tournaments in saltwater. This is the time of the year coming up where all of the major billfish and tuna tournaments are happening down in Baja. And you've got, sometimes in the Bisbee, you'll have over 200 boats that go out. And like you said, until the last fish is brought in, nobody knows what's going to happen.
Right.
Rick said every boat has a judge. Now, how many people do you have to get to become judges?
So they bring on 55, so there's five, and then five alternates.
Okay. So,
and,
there's 50 boats in the tournament?
Yeah.
Wow. Must be a big lake. No. Yeah, those
it's
those.
Pretty fast.
Yeah. Those, yeah, the bass tournament's fun because, you know, when they take off, the reason that they have these flat-bottom boats with the huge engines on them is because they want to get across the lake as fast as they can. And then they go over there, fish for a few minutes, and then they turn around and go 100 miles an hour back to where they started from and fish there for a while. And then...
That is pretty interesting. I never knew that as, someone from the outside looking in. I went to the Bassmaster Classic, and, I listened to an interview, and I listened to one of the anglers that, they're out there all day long fishing. But he said, I actually only got about 48 minutes of fishing in on day one and about an hour and a half on day two. Because literally, like you said, they'll go to a spot, they'll chuck it into the water a few times, and if they don't feel like it's good, they'll drive to the next place, but like you said, they're doing 85 miles an hour on the water.
Yeah, yeah. I personally think they do that because they can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Boy, the level of intensity is really something. I really enjoy watching those guys work. I mean, they're so good, and they know so much about what they're doing. It's a different world
Yeah, and what's interesting is, right, you've got everyone from seasoned guys that have been on the tour for the longest time, like Kevin Van Dam, to the chosen one, Zach Caudill, who went directly from college to the Elite Series, and he's the only person to ever do it, and he's actually sponsored by, you know, California's own DeMeke Bait Company.
Boy, that's pretty big. I had to pick up a sponsor. I mean, that's critical to...
Yeah.
Yeah, that profession.
Well, that's the thing is those, you know, to be in the tournaments, you need they usually have multiple sponsors because someone's got to pay for the boat, the gas, the trailer, and the rest of it. But anyway, we're going to let you go, Rick. But how do we get in touch with Fishhound?
Check us out at www.fishhound.com.
That's an easy one, fishhound.com. And for any information about anywhere you want to fish, go ahead and check into that. Thank you, Rick. We appreciate that report.
Thanks, Rick.
You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Mike Moropoulos, and we appreciate you tuning in.